is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Brian Alvarez, and you are listening to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Explosive Pro Wrestling, me, Dean Olsen.
Hey, this is the King of the Mountain, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Robbie Eagles.
This is the loosest in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is 5 times the world's heavyweight champion, the Scrap Daddy himself, Scrap Brand Adam Pearce, and you are locked in to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Hey, it's Killian English.
That's right, it is time for WRA. Thank you for checking it out, whether it's on FNX.network, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or any other places you can find podcasts. Thank you very much for joining us. Just want to send a big shout out right at the top of the show to all of our overseas listeners that have been joining us. We're always talking about the Australian scene on here and, the listenership in different states around Oz, but had a lot of folks lately that have been listening to the show from overseas and really taking an interest in our independent wrestling scene, which is just friggin' awesome. So folks like Java, like Elizabeth, like Brandon, who's also a big fan of Butts in Seats, as well as Liz, just thanks heaps, guys and girls. And it's just, to know that our show is getting the indie product here to people outside of Oz, it's friggin' unreal. So yeah, just big thank you to you guys, and thanks for spreading the word amongst your people. It's really cool stuff. Now on a personal note for a moment here, things have been a bit tough in the armor family the last few weeks. Found out that my father John has cancer, which friggin' sucks. I mean, what do you, first, I guess you don't know how to think, do I feel guilty feeling good or positive about other things in my life, but that's the thing, that the best thing to do is to be positive at the moment. The doctors are going to do what they can. They're going to treat it. I think he's going to do some chemo and try and kick this thing in the ass. It's scary as hell. When the doctor was, I was there with the old man, when the doctor said, you do have cancer. I mean, I wrapped my arms around him like a kid that's on his first day of school and just doesn't want dad to leave. You know what I mean? He's just clutching him like, it rocks you. It really does. But the thing that I'm taking out of it is that he's being so positive about this and really, really gutsy to say, yep, I'm not gonna sit back and let this thing beat me. I'm gonna beat it, and it's really freaking cool. So I'm just putting it out there that I'm really proud of him, of you, Dad, because you are listening to the show, listens to every episode he does, and the way that he is just tackling it front on is amazing. Really proud of you, Dad, and anyone else out there that's going through cancer. And if you haven't dealt with it, like, it's one of those things that you hear about and you hear people going through it, members of their family going through it, and I guess if you're not really close to them, you don't know what you're in for when someone close to you does get cancer, and you think, like, shit, what's the plan of attack here, what are we going to do, and all this sort of thing, how are we going to cope? But yeah, as I mentioned a moment ago, the best way to cope is to be positive, to say, right, we are going to beat this thing and do whatever we have to do as a team, not just Dad, all of us, let's kick this thing in the ass, let's give it a bloody good pile driver and keep it down for three. If you see my old man, John Armour, on Facebook posting on any of my stuff or any of the WRA stuff, just hit him up and just send him a couple of words of encouragement. That'd be really good. But yeah, I'm so proud of you, Dad, just for being positive, you know, and saying, no, we're going to fucking do this. We're gonna be all right. And it's scary as hell, but we'll be right. And you'll be right. So, yeah. Love you, Dad. Now, let's talk wrestling, shall we? It is Wrestle Radio Australia. So let's get into it. And, man, there are some big shows happening in November. You've got EPW Reawakening 14 on November the 14th this weekend. You've got Melbourne City Wrestling's 5-year anniversary extravaganza. That's happening in Melbourne the night before the massive UFC event with Ronda Rousey. So, Melbourne folk, if you know folks that are going to UFC, drag their ass along down to MC Dub, make it a big combat sports weekend and have some fun with it. And of course, November 28, Wrestle Rampage down here in Adelaide at the Titanium Security Arena. Massive show happening there. And I've just got word that there is going to be a whole heap of new merch from those promotions, courtesy of Wrestle Merch Printing, who have been hard at it, getting the new merch ready for those feds. So if you yourself are an Aussie wrestler, a promoter, and you really want to get quality merchandise to your fan base, check out Wrestle Merch Printing. They're based in South Australia. I'll tell you what, they're really easy to work with. Their tees and hoodies are hand screen printed one by one, so you know that you're getting precise quality there. And if you need a logo made like we did, Wrestle Merch Printing will design one for you. And some of the best in Australia trust Wrestle Merch, such as TMDK, Elliot Sexton, Adam Brooks, JXT, the star of JXTV, and many more. And guess what? They want to take care of you as well. So for nothing but friendly service and also nationwide shipping, message Wrestle Merch Printing on Facebook. Tell them you heard about it on Wrestle Radio Australia, and they'll be sure to take care of you. All right, now let's get into it. In just a moment, we're going to have Big Brody Marshall, Todd Eastman, Sean Fuster, and myself having a bit of a round table yak. But first of all, enjoy this little audio treat, and I'll be back in a moment. Cheers.
Here we are at WrestleMania, and it's the biggest match of your career. Why? Because everything you stand for is on the line, namely the $1 million belt. Oh yeah, it can be yours once again. You see, all you have to do to get it back is go through Damian and me. But you see, Damian and I don't forget. We remember all the times you made people grovel for your money. These were people far less fortunate than you. People who could use your money for essentials. And what did you do? You made fun of them. You humbled them. And you humiliated them. Well, now it's my turn. I'm going to make you beg, DiBiase. You are going to get down on your hands and knees. This time, you'll be the one that's humbled. This time, you'll be the one that's humiliated. And this time, you will be the one that grovels for the money. And how appropriate that the money you grovel for is your very own. A victim of your own greed, wallowing in the muck of avarice.
Longfellow couldn't have said it better.
The people out there can't be calling me names saying, well, what a cheap shot artist he is. I took advantage of it. You played with my time. You didn't think enough of me that you could turn your back and play gaga with some fan. Well, that's your mistake. And that was your first mistake. The DDT on the concrete floor, you have to admit, was an awesome thing. When I turned you over and I seen your face already starting to swell, I have to tell you the truth, man. It made me feel good inside. chills ran up my spine as I drug you into that ring and laid that snake on you. And you know why I do that? Because I get off on that steamboat. Now here you are making your second mistake. Possibly your final mistake. Because you see, with me, you don't get three strikes. Because when you get the DDT, you can lay out any game you want. Because you control it. And I do.
And what a rush I got, man. Up and down my back, it felt so good. My hair felt like it was tingling. I mean, I had goosebumps all over my body listening to you squeal for a man that could not do anything but flail around. Couldn't help himself at all, you know?
They don't get up. One simple move, it takes a split second to do. DDT, that's what it's called, and I'm not afraid of anybody. Nobody. Could you handle a snake? I don't lie. Could you?
Tell me who that ride. Shall the revelator. Tell me who that ride. Shall the revelator. Who that ride. Shall the revelator. Rope the foot down the seven seas.
Alrighty, backstage here at Riot City Wrestling Power Trip. We are getting ready for the big show, and we've got a couple of members of the WRA crew. First of all, Todd Eastman is here.
Hello.
Yes, back down in A-Town for the weekend. And Sean Fuster is here.
I don't get away to the tropics anywhere near as often as Todd does.
Yeah, stuck in that that courtroom. Cheap plug here for the advertiser and our main guest at the moment. He is the reigning Riot City Wrestling Champion, Big Brody Marshall.
G'day, Josh. How are you, mate?
Mate, I'm glad we're finally doing this. I know the Big Ballers crew, well, there's at least one fifth of the Big Ballers crew here.
That is our contract that he's not allowed to have a podcast episode, so you'll be hearing from our lawyers shortly.
That's right. He was on the Decade of Riot City special. However, that was a short form. It was a truncated one. So now we're here for the big whoop-de-doo, and no match tonight. You've got the night off, champ.
Yeah, night off, which is good. It gets to rest this old body of mine, mate. Weak. Which was very weak. But no, it's good. You know, these sorts of it gives me a chance to actually watch a bit of the show as well. So I'm really keen to just when you're holding a title with any sort of wrestling, you're normally the last bloke on the show. So I normally don't get to see much of the show. So it'll be good tonight just to sit back and watch and take it all in.
This will be released, of course, after the show. So will I see you at the commentary desk tonight?
Possibly. I don't know. Have to talk to the bookers. So
Booker, man.
Native.
That's a no, mate.
NBT.
But how am I going to argue with him if you don't put him on the commentary? We can only argue on Twitter so much.
Try to keep him away from a mic as much as possible.
Smart move.
And now he's got one right in front of him, so look out. And the main reason I wanted to have you, Brody, and Todd here at the same time, Sean was an afterthought, but...
Isn't that always the way?
but because you guys started in Riot City, I was there watching tryouts the day that you guys tried out together. So, like, you guys have both shared this journey together as mates who've gone in to start, you know, working in wrestling. And, like, here we are. Well, how long is it? Like, four years on now?
4 years, yeah. This, we're coming into our fifth soon. Do you want me to hold that or...? Okay.
It's a very touchy... These USB mics are very touchy,
you'll
folks, so...
You let him hold it.
What's really funny to me is that the mic stand is red-headed and so is the microphone.
Hey, there we go. Team with the theme, but yeah, these USB mics are very sensitive, so...
Yeah. No, look, we... Toddy and I were both wrestling fans, obviously, before we came and saw... any sort of independent wrestling, more, let alone Australian independent wrestling. We came, look, feel free to disagree with anything that I say here, Toddy. We both knew that we're both wrestling fans. Toddy and I actually met at a UFC event, UFC 110 in Sydney, and we just started talking through my cousin, actually, and we've clicked and become really good mates.
Who's Miller, who is on the Big Ballers podcast?
Yeah, Miller on the Big Ballers podcast is my cousin.
Loves the D.
Yeah, so we just started we started chatting, and we both found out that we had a pretty strong passion for wrestling. Yeah, just started talking. We started coming to some local shows, and we went and saw a few. And then we came to Riot City. And I think it was the second or third show where Todd and I were just talking, and I said, I reckon we could give this a shot. And we both sort of agreed.
If you recall, I went, well, you could.
Well, you came to, well, yeah, okay. So I'd played footy for a lot of years, and I kind of figured, look, I'm a late bloomer when it comes to the wrestling world. So I'm currently 37, so I'm an old bastard.
But I mean, a bit having that career in Hollywood, you know, all those after Gladiator, I mean, really, was there any need to pursue anything else? But
you had to pay for the damages to that hotel room and that throwing the phone somehow. So wrestling pays the bills.
Yeah, well, wrestling pays no bills. I can tell you that much. So So Toddy and I actually tried out. Toddy threw up, which I was.
Yes, he did.
Toddy threw up. So, but no, it was good, and you know. I haven't looked back since. We came to a few wrestling feds.
It's okay, Todd. I was that guy on tryout day that puked too. So
We went and scoped out a few wrestling feds, and Riot City was for us by far and away the most professional with production. The wrestling was amazing. You got to remember back then it was you had not only your Chris Mimic Basso, your Matty Basso, Brad Smizel, all that sort of stuff. You also had Matt Silver was wrestling on the shows. Brooksy was just starting out.
Proto J.
Yeah, the Proto J. Rocky, Brendan. Sorry, fucking Sexton. Oh well, kayfabe's dead. Jonah Rock, all those guys. So it was just a fucking really, really good show. You're allowed to swear on these things?
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. So
Marcus Pitt changed all that.
It was a really, really good show, and you know, just the professionalism of the crew, even with intermission coming out and them interacting with the fans and all that sort of stuff, really sort of got me into it. And then yeah, like I said, Toddy and I said, let's give it a shot. We went to the same tryout together a long, long time ago, or it feels like a long, long time ago, and now we're here. And I honestly wouldn't. I've never regretted a day working for this federation. I fucking love it here.
We talked at lunch and it was like we couldn't wait for anyone else, really.
No, exactly. So I said, if Riot, look, this is just me, this is my personal opinion, but if Riot City wrestling wasn't around, I wouldn't be wrestling today. And that's just because of the not just the production, the show, everything like that. It's the training, the team we got here, the locker room. For me, once again, I can only speak from my own personal opinion, is the best locker room that I've been to. And I've been to several feds and wrestled in different places. We're one big family here, and you know, it's all I got to give a lot of props to the Basso boys, just one, for giving me the chance, and two, for also, you know, that they, I think they're very almost underrated within professional wrestling. Like, everyone knows that both those guys are fantastic wrestlers, but it's the behind the scenes stuff that really makes you want to be a part of this and be a part of this family. You know, I'm lucky enough now that I'm sort of one of the more senior guys here. I help with some trainings and all that sort of stuff, but that's only come through the guidance and teachings of the Basso boys, who are, you know, to me are one of, if not the best in Australia.
And back to the family thing, and the fact that you feel welcome in RC Dub. As a fan, I imagine, like, when you guys were sort of looking at it going, okay, we're going to give this a shot, you come in from the outside and you're fans. So, as we all are, so you watch all the documentaries and you hear about all the... how tough it has been for people over different generations to break into wrestling, and then, oh, am I going to be ribbed for the next 12 months? Is life going to be hell trying to prove myself to these guys that I'm worthy enough or manly enough, quote unquote, let alone actually, you know what I mean? Like, all that sort of bullshit. And then you realise, oh, well, they're just dudes like everyone else. Like, everybody's got their eccentricities, and everybody, you know, there's some people that you don't want to piss off, and there's some people, you know what I mean? Like, Maddie. But you know what I mean? There's that. That's life. You get that in life, and you realise that over time that, well, that's bloody life. That happens. But it just, yeah, you don't feel like there's not an intimidation thing coming in. You know what I mean?
Like, no, definitely. And like, before we started, I definitely had that going through my mind. I didn't know, you heard all the horror stories in America where, you know, I mean, even if you listen to some of Hulk Hogan stuff, he got his leg broke and all that sort of thing. You don't know whether that...
And even some promotions in Australia, you've heard things throughout the years that, yeah. Oh, they just want to break you. They just want to break you,
yeah,
you know?
Well, I mean...
You're too big to break, but...
Well, yeah, hashtag. it was one of those things, I didn't know anything about the Australian wrestling scene, to be honest with you. Like, I played footy, I was into footy, I was helping out with my local footy club, just about up until I turned to wrestling. I no longer deal with anything with footy anymore, but so I knew about American wrestling and I knew about the American independent scene a little bit, not as much as I do now, but yeah, I knew nothing about the Australian wrestling scene. I didn't even know there was really an Australian wrestling scene until Toddy and I sort of got into it. But yeah, like I said, it's been nothing but nice and nothing but, you know, these guys, once again, especially the Basso boys, they want to produce the best wrestling and get the most out of you to get the best out of the show. Yeah. So it's a flow on effect. Everyone helping everyone is a positive thing for the overall product.
I mean, I don't know how much it really affected you because you sort of chiseled out of fucking granite. But, yeah. But for me, like, even someone being, like, I'm 2 years older than Broads, about a good 30 kilos heavier than Broads.
Five foot shorter.
But the boys, like, encouraged me the whole way along. They didn't sort of discourage me saying, you can't do this, you can't. They were just always, you always felt like they were on your side. And that's, I mean, believe me, now that I've moved to Queensland, I'm incredibly out of pocket to come to these shows, but I wouldn't have it any other way because this is just my family.
And plus, you're a big part of the shows behind the scenes. You do a lot of the creative and the booking, and that's one thing that, like, in the last, it's been a couple of years now, like, there's been a, not that things were bad before, but there's just so many fresh ideas, and it keeps the talent fresh and in the eyes of the fans as well, and that's a good thing. Once people get stale, you know, that's like, it can be a real death knell for some wrestlers, but... It's kept things engaging as well, like, for the fans. It's really... I always pick it up, but it's great.
That's the hardest thing, especially nowadays, because fans are so damn fickle and will pick anything, any little discrepancy, or they will pick it apart, something fierce. And sometimes you can't explain to them, look, the guy fucking pulled a hamstring, he won't be able to do the match. You can't say that to them because they're not going to accept that. So,
oh, you're fabing us.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just, or the fact that, look, this month the guy couldn't afford the flights, or not couldn't afford the flights, but his work said that they needed him, so he can't come over for the show. And all that's good for us, that's fine, we have to, like, work around that, we'll put something else together. But for the fans are just, no, we want to see Marvel versus Voodoo. That's what we want to see. And sometimes it's not up to us because it's just circumstance.
And actually,
I was just going to say, I'm the newest here in terms of not only following Australian independent wrestling, but also coming into the Riot City family. And like you've both said, the impressive thing is the way that it's booked and the way that talent has developed. I mean, I remember you as a white meat babyface that was just starting out. And, you know, I remember you as being on the commentary desk, and to find out what you both were doing behind the scenes, it really does make this place develop. And it is more interesting than a lot of other places that I've seen. Even some of the televised product doesn't compare to the stuff that we see here, and that's what got me interested and excited. And if it hadn't been for, you know, your character development and your booking, I wouldn't have been interested enough when the boys said, hey, you know, we could do with another voice on the commentary booth.
Well, I mean, the only reason I got put on commentary is that I was a smart ass at training, pretty much. And if somebody, say, so they'd be talking about something and say, oh, that moves, blah blah blah. And I think Cree pulled me aside once and said, look, we sort of need another commentator, and you're funny and you know your shit. Do you want to try it out? And I was nervous as hell, as you remember, Josh, the first night, and just made a few jokes and didn't say too much.
But it didn't come across. I mean, I was sitting in the audience, and to those of us in the audience, it just gelled completely. I mean, you know, like I said, I don't want to turn this into a circle jerk, but the two of you really did add something to the product.
Yeah, and then that was just all just me learning on the fly sort of thing in development. And as for, like, the managing thing, it's just something that I'm more naturally a smartass and a jerk. Just what I am. And Josh is more naturally a nice guy. So really it just worked out that way, that it worked better.
That's why even when I was healing it up as JD, like, you were throwing in those smart ass barbs at me, like, sort of like trying to, like, you know, like, stick it up me, as you know, like, well, no, yeah. But at the same time, it was that sign there of, hey, we should kind of switch roles here, because what you're doing comes across so natural, and what I'm doing is really forced, you know what I mean? And it worked out beautifully once you turned, I thought.
And taking it to Brody, when he first started to turn, I know Brody is one of the nicest guys I know, and I was really skeptical about how he would get over as a heel, just because, I mean, I remember the first time you went out for a heel promo, you smiled the whole time, and I'm like, stop fucking smiling, you're a bad guy.
Well, actually, I wanted to ask you about that, because like I said, when I first started coming to the shows, before I was part of this, you were the smiling big guy, the country boy in the blue and red tights, doing your thing. Everybody was cheering you for a while, and then of course, as we know, wrestling fans are fickle, and eventually they start getting sick of it and they start, you know, turning on you. What was that like for you as a naturally nice bloke to turn heel, and how do you find that and draw that out of yourself?
And actually, piggybacking off of that, or a bit of a dovetail, we've got a question here from Michael Roach, who will be here tonight, no doubt. Thoughts on, yes, being cheered by certain parts of the crowd as a heel, and his previous question he left for us a while back when we were going to schedule this chat in. I'm reading what I'm writing, and I'm reading what I'm saying, what I'm actually thinking. Dream opponents in the world and Australia.
In the world, alive or dead, or doesn't matter?
It's got to be me.
Okay, well, yeah, Eastman. No.
Miller.
Yeah. Miller. Alive would probably be Cesaro. Dead? Shit. actually, no, still alive would probably be Dynamite Kid. I'd want to wrestle him.
Dead would be... Dead
barely alive.
Dead would be Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah. Yep. You tried to do the Latin thing then, didn't you? Get it?
That's the Italian in me coming out, mate.
But as though it's another thing too, like when Todd rolls his arse, it's a thing of beauty. He's good at that.
What was the first part of that question?
Turning heel.
Yeah. No, look, I mean, I honestly think it's come a little bit natural to me now. At the start, it was... and I'll refer back to Michael's question in a second. At the start, it was a bit... I just wasn't used to it, because I was used to playing the pure, like you said, white meat babyface. I was very, you know, very much a babyface. There was nothing heel about me at all. But
you are naturally that person. So
yeah. There's that whole you know, wrestling is a further extension. Like, your wrestling character is a further extension of yourself. You turn it up to 10 or whatever. Look, I've got a bit of cunt in me, I'm not going to lie. So I just bring that out. And plus, my heel shtick is not really super heely. It is in bits and pieces, but it's more cocky. So, and back to Michael's question about getting cheered by the fans, I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, have your faces and your heels. People determine that by, if this is my personal belief once again, if you're a good enough wrestler, people should be able to determine whether you're a heel or a face by the minute you walk out of that curtain. So that should be your demeanor, what you're doing, or your interaction with the crowd full stop. All those little things will make up, by the time you get down from the runway to the ring itself, before you've done any sort of moves, the wrestler, as a fan, should be able to tell whether you're a heel or a face. In saying that, cheering heels is the cool thing to do now.
I was about to say, there is a definitely a section of our audience, the residents out there, that they love, and it's the Heel City crew, Kyle, Michael, the other Michael, yep. All those guys, yep. They love Nick, they love cheering the bad guys. It's just one of those things.
I can tell you now, when I was a babyface, they hated my guts. So
they did too.
You two-faced motherfuckers.
Yep, exactly. So when I was the babyface, you cunts never fucking cheered for me.
Cut that fucking R-rated promo right now. Heel City, you're gonna get it.
Yeah, now I'm the heel, you fucking love me. No, it's, and like that.
7MB.
that's wrestling though. Since Stone Cold, that's wrestling. So, I mean, Sean was there as well. We're at I was lucky enough to have a WWE tryout.
Yes.
And Bill DeMott said there's no, in E, they don't class heels and faces anymore. It's what the crowd cheer for. So that's obviously the psychology that they're going with. I think in Australia we're very much heel face based, which is, you know, not a bad thing. I think there's merit in that as well. But
there's definitely something in a section of the fans like liking you, because then it gives the fans, and this is why I'm always big on the idea of cross promotional rivalries, is that it's us versus them. So it even gives the fans, you know, like their own little thing amongst each other that, like, screw you, buddy, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the perfect example was last time I was on commentary, I trashed one of the fans in the crowd, and the crowd went mental for it. So that was a heel thing to do. Give
poor
him shit.
Ellie.
Yeah, gave Ellie shit. So gave her shit, and, you know, I mean, as a heel, you're expecting to get booed, but the crowd, like most of the crowd, enjoyed that sort of stuff. So that's just, I think that's...
Yeah, what was interesting was when I gave you shit on commentary, they popped for that and dumped on you. So they weren't prepared to, like you say, it was not just down the line heel face, it's reacting to the situation and the character.
And it's what's fucking determined as cool now. Like I said, the heels are the cool, the new faces.
I find I'm fairly roundly hated, but...
Even in here.
But yeah, exactly. But in sort of like some sections, some sort of, they love to hate me. Yeah. If you know what I mean.
Well, my missus is the leader of the Todd Eastman hate love fan club. I mean, she loves dumping on you. She screams the loudest at you.
Yeah. Well, her and my wife.
Building on what you were saying about the WWE tryout, can you take the listeners through that a little bit? Because we see it on Breaking Ground. I mean, like you said, we were both there. I was sitting in the sidelines watching, thanking God above that I didn't have to do half the things you guys were doing those 2 days. But can you just take people through? Because it's one thing to see it on Breaking Ground. It's another to actually live through the level of endurance you need to go through that 48-hour period.
Yeah. And did Regal tell you, I know he wasn't on the actual, he wasn't actually the actual thing. Bugger, I'd love to hear about a good Regal rant.
Yeah, no, look, I mean, I'm not here to big note myself to say that I was, you know, I was lucky enough to get chosen for a WWE trial. I cherish that experience, and I always will. I'm never going to make it to E. I'm realistic about my situation. So,
but that's only really because of your age.
Well, in fact, I can confirm that is only because of your age.
Yeah, which is fine, and that's understandable. But it was brutal. We were doing a lot of the moves on concrete with no padding. When I say moves, a lot of the rolls and the cardio and all that sort of stuff. So it was 2 days. First day was pretty much all non-stop cardio, and a lot of stair running up and down Rod Laver Arena. Which
hang on, no padding at all, not even your little black crash mats.
We were doing push-ups and these just put your legs over your head things and all that sort of stuff. So I'm not exaggerating to try and sound tough here, but by the end of the 2 days, the lower half of my back was bleeding. So, but it was an experience that I would happily do again. Like, it was just fantastic. So just to be in the ring, like, one being a WWE ring was just, you know, I fucking marked out.
How weird for other workers who haven't been in that big 20 by 20 square ring, you know what I'm saying? How does that feel, the different ropes, the bigger ring? Does the actual padding underneath feel completely different? And by padding, for folks who don't know about a ring, I mean, you know, inch and a half of foam. How does that feel, being in a different ring?
Yeah, no, look, I mean, it was all pretty good. To be honest with you, I was probably too, not nervous, but concentrating on what I was doing so too much to worry about what the ring was feeling like. So, and just doing whatever Bill told you to do, we did. So it was go, go, go. There was no stop. So it was, we're doing this, you get in the line, you wait, and we just filtered through. So, but you know, like, out of that group, Jesse McKay and Cassie, she got in.
Peyton Royce, that's it.
Yeah, yeah. So those two got in out of the trials, which is fantastic. And look where they are now. You know, that, I mean, I think Australian wrestling, if you want to get into Australian wrestling, now is the best time to get into it. There's so much going on, and we have so much talent here, so much talent. And I think it's just starting to come to, like, the cream is rising to the top now, and I don't know, I think if you've ever thought about wanting to get into wrestling, find yourself a good place within your state to do it. Seriously, look for a good wrestling federation, somewhere that they're going to train you properly and you're gonna go places with. Sorry,
don't just look for a wrestling place because you figure off in 2 months you'll be on shows.
Yeah. And don't just go for location either. I can tell you now, I have to drive an hour an hour down and an hour back to training. So I live an hour away from where I train. I live almost three quarters of an hour away from here.
I mean, Ken Anderson, he was on Healing Out with Ali Vaez a couple of weeks ago here on the feed. Go back and check that out. And he was talking about the fact that when he started training, you know, he's driving like 3 hours. And my old man was listening to this episode and he was like, bloody hell. Like, you know, he knows the fact that, you know, we've traveled 20, 30, 40 minutes to get to training or an hour. And he's like, bloody hell, it's amazing hearing how different people start out and someone can be so passionate about it to go, right, or every day, every couple of days or whatever, I'm driving 3 hours to get to this bloody training session or whatever it is. Like, it's,
that's the thing though, if you don't have the passion for it, get the fuck out of it.
This is I mean, if you play footy, you're going to get paid to play. If you're playing A grade footy, you're getting money. In Australian wrestling, I mean, I know it's different in each state, but you're not going to get any sort of, you'll get money, but you won't get big money out of Australian wrestling. So, I mean, you know, if you're a gun A grade footballer, you might get fucking, I don't know, 500 a match or whatever. I mean, you're not going to see, you may see 10% of that, if that. So, depending where you go. So, you're not in it for the money. You're in it because you love this. I'm going to call it a sport. It's yes and no, it's a sport, but I tell you what, if they can call darts a sport, wrestling's a fucking sport.
Well, and chess for that matter. Chess is actually categorised these days, competitive chess, as a sport.
There you go. Yes. Look how strong those cunts are. Fucking hell.
Bury them fucking chess playing cunts.
Exactly.
Fuck do they know? Can they bump?
How much are you chess?
Yeah. Do you even chess, bro? Yeah, that's right. We got one here. We're going to dip into the Q&A. We only got a couple because I did post this late, but one here from a member of the Big Ballers crew, Mr. Dave Ware. Who would win a fight between Manute Bol and Shane Heel?
Shane Heel. Oh,
and for those who aren't up with their Manute Bol, please explain, Toddy, who Manute Bol is, and maybe even Shane Heel for those new younger bowlers out there.
Well, if you listen to Brody, Shane Heel is a cunt. And Manute Bol is
literally Shane Heel. Yes.
Manute Bol was a 7'7", skinny as a rake, African. I'm not actually sure what country he's from, so I'm not.
Zimbabwe. Yep, that's right. Yep.
And he actually has a son now that should be playing suit called Bol Bol.
Bol Bol, that is the best, isn't it?
Amazing. So the answer is Manute Bol. Well, because I just want to see Shane Heel's head kicked in. So I've got that sounded really harsh.
It's because you're a very big
Shane Heel is a former Olympian who is about 40 something and still peroxides his hair.
The other thing is the amount of
he arced up against Charles Barkley in an Olympic or World Championship match back in the mid 90s and yeah, ever since that day, he's kind of had this rep of, I mean, I was proud of him. I thought, yeah, you take it to him. Fuck, yeah, right on. And I hated the Sydney Kings, so it actually put him over to me. But
back in the day in the Sydney Kings when the Sixers would play Sydney, he was just a prick. So I just...
I threw it firsthand at the Powerhouse one night.
Yeah. So I was a massive Phil Smythe fan. So, and that's not because Brad Smythe fucking wrestles for I was just a massive general fan. And I don't know, I just Shane Heel was a prick and I was a massive general fan. So I don't know, I just don't like the bloke. And I've got nothing to base it on. So the answer is Manute Bol.
Right. And next week on Wrestle Radio Australia, Shane Heel to rebuttal time.
Shane Heel, if you ever want to get in the ring, fucking come to Riot City, mate. It'd be fantastic. I'd be glad to have you down here.
Hello. There's a challenge. You heard it. You heard it first right here. Toddy, book that shit.
Yeah, but then we'd have to have one of Toddy's least favourite people in the world help us sort it out. And I don't think Toddy wants me asking Bodie Nodge for anything.
Bodie's all right. Bodie's all right now. We're fine. We've squashed our beef.
Hang on, what? Bodie Nodge, the famous... Famous NBA basketball writer for The Advertiser, sure knows him well.
He's one of my good mates. He's a comic book fan. He's a wrestling fan.
Todd, what's the beef?
He's such a fucking wrestler.
wrestling fan, why is he not coming to a show? A show that his mate is on.
I loved back in, especially once again, this is back in the 90s.
I'm sorry, this is a one-way feud. Buddy doesn't even know I live. So
actually, he does. I've told him.
back in the 90s, he was the most biased fucking reporter ever. It was amazing. So you'd read the Sixers, his article on the Sixers, and it was just pro Sixers. Everything. It was great. Loved it.
What are you pointing the mic at me for? Somebody says biased journalism.
No, it's just no.
Fuck you, man. Fuck
no,
you.
I'm talking about it's. Hey, come on. It's kind of like what you're saying about that pro Sixers thing. It was kind of like back in the day when Port Power just started up, and I'd always listen to like the 5AA sports show with Cornsy and KG.
Yeah, yeah, well, I work for 5AA as well. You're going to get me in trouble.
Oh, for fuck's sake! Jesus Christ.
Well, Richard, you get stuff, so that's
so anyway, right. And,
back
and
to wrestling.
Back to, yeah, that's right.
See, if we book Shane Hill, you're putting him over, lad. Oh. Sorry.
we'll see about that, mate. We'll see.
Next week, the arm wrestling championship for who puts over Shane Hill.
KG and Cornsy were the same. They would like relentlessly put over the crows, and it's like, where's the power, love? Come on, like, you know, we knew we need that encouragement,
yeah.
But
yeah, no, it's all good into it.
Right. Moving on, yeah, back to wrestling.
Moving on, but I want to get into Toddy, like the journey that you guys sort of been on together. You, as far as the being in the creative and doing the booking, like. Back in the day, so as you're a fan, are you fantasy booking, are you e-fetting, are you sort of, did you always have that thing in your mind of like, if you look at a program or something and instantly you're thinking of ways to either do it differently or ways that you could get out of this jam booking wise, has it always been a thing that you've just, because it seems to come so naturally the way that the ideas and the stories progress and, you know, things match certain characters just right, you know, like.
Yeah. No, I never e-fetted, I never did any of that. I had done a little bit of like admining on like Facebook wrestling pages, the pro wrestling world. It's like 102,000 likes or something on there.
That's huge, yeah.
Did sort of that sort of that, and that's like and I think when they used to do these little things where you have to do something to get an adminship on it, and it was a big deal sort of thing. And they asked me to, they said you have to book this, and I think I booked Sting versus Taker, the way I would have Sting versus Taker. And yeah, that's, I don't know how, I don't know why, to be honest, but to be honest, it's probably because I've watched thousands and thousands of hours of wrestling, and a lot of the ideas are just sort of picked from, this is what they did back in the fucking Memphis and it worked a treat, if we can just adapt it, because this character is very much like the character we have in Riot City and that sort of deal. So yeah, no, I never did any e-fitting or anything like that. I've just always sort of had a creative mind, I guess. That would be about it, really. And I love the Four Horsemen. Yes,
yeah, it's a very big girl, but I love those horseman shirts that you drag out from time. How many horseman shirts do you have now? Plus the Arn one, the Enforcer one, that Scarface kind of design. I love that.
I'm about 8 Four Horsemen shirts, and believe me, because my wife told me, how many shirts do you need for the one thing? To which I told her, shut up.
And that's why he's now in Queensland, because that was the way he had to apologise.
Yes. No, yeah, but that's that thing. That era of when you've had Dusty booking back in the NWA territory, I love that, because everything made sense and everything. There was always a big story arc. And that for me is, that's my favourite booking. When you've got something here, look, we're going to start off Brody here as a white meat baby face, and by December, he will be our heel champion. And this is how we're going to get there. We know where we're going. We know where he is now. It's just now we have to plot out where he's going to get there. We're going to have him do this in this month. We're going to have him do this month. He won't be able to do it because he needs surgery. But then we'll just delay it for a while.
Jesus, so that was a rib on a fucking real shoot thing that happened. So
I had to have it could have been beautiful.
It could have been beautiful, but I
don't know. How do I put it? Because everybody, we all sit here as fans, and if you're listening and you're saying that you don't do it, you're lying, because we all do as fans. We all sit there and think, we can book this better. We can come up with a better idea for this guy or this girl. What do you say to people like that who legit sit there and think, I can book a territory? What are some of the things that they might run into that they're not thinking about now, and they go, oh, I can fucking do it?
You and I talked about this over lunch the other day, didn't we?
Yeah, the wrestlers.
That's what you can run into quite easily. I could quite easily say, look, we're going to have Brody go for 2.5 years, not get pinned, not do anything. But unless you've got those guys willing to lie down for him, none of this is going to work. And if you've got, I could set out the best match makes perfect sense, imagery, but if the guy that comes in doesn't want to do it, it's not going
to
happen.
Because as you said to me, nobody's getting paid and everybody can just choose to say, well, I'm not interested.
But that's where there's a bit of contention in regards to some feds do pay. I kind of feel if you're a professional wrestler, by professional I mean you're getting paid to wrestle, yep, and a booker wants you to do something,
you do it.
You're getting paid by the booker to work for them.
Yeah. And in a perfect world, that would happen, but we all know it's not a perfect world.
No,
there are egos, there are, and that's the whole minefield that a lot of guys that sit at home, and I probably used to do it myself, just, yeah, we could just do that. It's not as simple as that. Yeah, I could do that, but this guy is gonna not like it at all. He might agree to do it, but he won't put his all in for it, and then it's gonna look like shit anyway.
I've had a pretty dream run. I can't argue with that. But it's also, I mean, I think coming from a footy background as well, when you're getting picked for teams, or you know what position you want to play, I think if you've had a previous sporting background before and you're coming into wrestling, I think it helps a lot, especially team sports.
I'll give you an example from you, and this is not, I'm not saying that you were difficult at all, because you weren't. When you had your big unbeaten streak,
yep,
and it was coming to the point where you knew it was going to end,
yep,
you were just like, how's this going to end? Because quite honestly, I don't want it to be shit.
Yep.
Now, if I had said an idea that we had that we thought was fucking great and you thought was shit, you probably still would have done it, but it wouldn't have had.
Yeah, but I mean, do you know?
Just for
my mentality, I would have done it, and I would have given it 100%. Would I have agreed with it? Probably not. Yeah. But
that's age as well. It's not just team sports. It's also the fact that, like you said, you came into this a bit later. You came into this a bit later. I came into it a bit later. We're older blokes who have done other things, and we look at this sort of stuff and we go, yeah, that's cool. It works because we're looking at the bigger picture, because you don't have that rush of age and ego so much.
Yeah, I also think that you've got normally eight to 15 minutes to tell a story, and I can say for wrestlers in South Australia, it's for us it's normally twice a month. So between eight and 15 minutes twice a month, you're out in front of people giving it your all. So why not put all of your effort into those 8 to 15 minutes? It's not much time out of your week, your day, your life. You might as well put it in and give it 100% and get the most out of what you've got out there.
And I agree with you.
Yeah, it's different strokes for different folks, but I mean, I know that I'm preaching to the converted here. There's a lot of egos in wrestling, and so there should be. I think you need to have an ego to be successful within this thing. And I'm not saying I'm super successful or anything like that, but the people that are, I think there's a difference though between having an ego and being a dick. So there's just deciphering that, and
having some perspective along with your ego. Perspective on things and the way that the overall system fits together.
Yeah.
Another thing is also, like, I might have mentioned it a few weeks ago but on the show, but like the, you know, to the talent, right, as a wrestler, you should be willing to say, like, yes, I'll lose, whatever, that's fine. It shouldn't really matter to you losing. I think that is more important in the fans' eyes. Like, if you're losing and it's going to make sense for them out there, so be it. But if you should be undefeated for another 6 months, then so be it. You know what I mean? Like, but it's, I think the wins and losses are more important to fans and the storytelling than the individual worker, you know, in the real world thinking, oh, I'm not going to fucking lose. Like, no, you should. But your fans out there, they have an absolute right to sit there and go, no, he shouldn't lose because I love him. Like, that's the difference in the whole thing of losing, you know. Like,
I had a conversation with Maddie the other day, and we were talking about perspective in regards to what the wrestler's perspective or how they see themselves compared to what the fans do. And I think sometimes that's very, very different. For example, I don't know, hypothetically, you're wrestling all the time and you've got some you're doing something. Let's say it's your bloody, I don't know, you're wearing a ribbon in your hair or something fucking stupid like that. And that's your idea of, oh, the fans will get that I'm looking like a tool or something like that. They might just think you're, I don't know, trying to be gay. I don't know. But what their perspective, the wrestler's perspective is compared to what the fan's perspective is often, not often, but sometimes very, very different. And the story that you try and put across is sometimes very, very different to what the fans think. So I think it's just about the hard part about being a wrestler as well is that you're out there wrestling, you're listening to the fans, you're trying to do what you think's right, but sometimes getting feedback from the guys that are actually watching it backstage and seeing your match can have a better perspective of what the actual situation is sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. That's just my, once again, my humble opinion.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How much or how long did it take before the Fandango chants really got on your nerves?
Oh, wow. Thanks, Ian and crew.
I can honestly say they've never really got on my nerves. I kind of think it's funny. So if you haven't seen me before, I sort of look like Fandango. So
Fandango sort of. Crow.
That and Russell Crowe. So, Fandango. Yeah. So I get those two a lot. So I see it as not a bad thing at all.
I just remember catching you backstage going because they were doing it when you weren't even in the match.
Yeah.
And you were like, the dude doesn't even fucking wrestle anymore. Would you lay off it?
Yeah. I think I might have just had a bad day.
But that's what I asked.
Yeah. No, look, I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't bother me too much. I mean, I don't get it. That it's only one group of guys that do it. So, and that's fine. Yeah. Well, I mean, again, they've paid their money to come see me. They can. I've fed off it a few times and given them shit. So.
We got word that they will be here tonight in force. Good? So the bar's definitely going to probably run out of alcohol. Definitely, probably. There you go. That's a English. I'm very good at it. Yeah, very good.
You used to did.
That's right. I'm the Smith word even.
I'm going to lead into a tangent, a segue here. It's about.
Is it a segue if you actually preface it with, this is a segue? Does that actually count?
He's new to the podcasting game. So
rookie mistake.
I'm going to heal up on you cunts in a minute. So. it's also about being professional out there and learning. I can tell you the first time I walked out there and I wrestled for the first time, I didn't hear a fucking thing the crowd did or said. So as you go out there more, you hear more for what the crowd are doing, you react more to what the crowd are doing. And I personally have found wrestling different people has helped me with that. I've had, if you ask me what my favourite match was today, there'd be four or five of them. So, and I've had, or who my favourite wrestler to wrestle was, it'd be four or five of them. Brooksy, I learnt so much wrestling that bloke, a heap. Wrestling Andy Phoenix, yep. That you have moments in wrestling where things click, things fall into place.
That was here, that match, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. So I wrestled Andy Phoenix here, and that was... just came back from that match and it was almost like a light had turned on in my head in regards to psychology. Mm-hmm. Like we'd worked through a match and we'd gone through a whole heap of stuff. It wasn't the greatest match. My head was elsewhere. I was just going through some shit at that time and Andy knows that. But just working with the bloke and understanding the situation, it was absolutely fantastic. Working with Bonza, working with Shippy. But Brooksy's one of my favourites to work with of all time. That bloke just... Sorry?
Manager.
Yeah, because of the manager. No. That bloke knows wrestling. That bloke, in my humble opinion, once again, is extremely underrated. He's destined. Yeah, he's destined for bigger things. I mean, he's an absolute gun. We got match of the year, him and I, for a match we had last year. And it was just... you know, the block, we were talking the whole time out there. Communication was fine. The match was easy as hell to do. And we just had our spots and... We worked the crowd. If something wasn't working, you knew where you're throwing your cutoffs and all that sort of stuff, and it was just communication out there and just easy to work with. And the blokes, it's the stuff in between the moves that makes it magic. And Brooksy's an absolute class act with that sort of stuff. So, I mean, wrestling Chris Basso was just another learning experience, and tag teaming with the bloke elevated me and my talent hugely. Just sitting back and watching him during a match, also him telling you what the fuck are you doing during a match,
right.
So you know, which is, you know, so like, which is great as well. I mean, it's at the time you're thinking, fuck, I'm fucking up here, what am I doing? So you know, it's just it's that sort of stuff going through it, going through the match and learning that at the time, which is absolutely fantastic. Also, bloody, I'm wrestling Nick Armstrong recently. Was absolutely fantastic. Another bloke that it was just easy, and also Jermaine. Fuck.
That's right, because Australian Wrestling All-Stars, the champion versus champion match, which, I don't know, I would have liked to have seen a winner, you know, between the two, regardless of who it was, although it would have been cool, but... yeah, the joys of booking a interpromotional event, I guess. Whoever had that responsibility, Toddy's wiping his hands clean of that. No, AC, no, it was not me.
Yeah. But it's just, I mean, like these guys are, like I may be older than them, but they're older than me in wrestling years. So these guys I have the most respect for, like the utmost respect for, and listen to what they say. I'll add my piece if I don't think something's right, and if I get overruled, I get overruled. But you know, it's just, once again, right, I feel, and I sometimes I feel this is lacking within wrestling, but respect is such a huge thing in this, in what we do. You're putting your life in someone else's hands, you know, I mean, and I'm not saying that as a flippant thing. If you're turning someone upside down and dropping them on their head, you know, it's something you need to be safe with. So it's not that that happens too much with me because I'm fucking huge, but you know, it's something that you know, you're putting your body and all that sort of stuff in someone else's hands, and you want them to respect you as much as you respect them. I try and be as humble as I can. I mean, I may sound like I'm big noting myself within this podcast, but I try and be as humble as I can, especially around other wrestlers. I mean, we have fun, we all fuck around, especially in RC Dub. But you know, it's sometimes just about sitting back and listening to what these guys have to say, because they've been there, they've done it, and they're at the top of their game for a reason. So yeah,
Toddy.
No. I'm just gonna say, how long are we going here? Because we got a show.
Yes, we've been going for about 45 minutes. So we will. All right, son. We're getting there. Jeez, Booker man. Sean, anything else on a closing note?
Yeah, wrap it up. Come on.
Oh, okay, that's it. All right, fine. Well, there we go. We are about to pack up and get ready for the show in real time. Well, but Big Brady Marshall, any plugs that we want to get out of the way, and any last words? Big Ballers. Yeah, we got to wait for you to bloody get the computer and internet hooked back up so we can get Big Ballers happening again, Toddy. That's
it's up and running now. We'll be up there next week. Don't worry about it.
Alrighty.
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter, but I'm not on Twitter. So when when I say I'm on Twitter, I'm on Twitter very, very rarely, which I think is at Big Brody Marsh, because Big Brody Marshall didn't fit. So
that's right. Yes, yeah. Big Brody Marsh.
Yeah, okay. But Instagram and Facebook are my two things. So Instagram is Brods RC Dub, and Facebook is Big Brody Marshall. So I'm pretty active on both of those. I'm actually having an argument with a couple of fans at the moment, which is fantastic. I love that interaction. So please come on, fucking look at my page, like my shit, enjoy it. I respond to people, so I don't think I'm too cool not to. So,
and come give him shit on Twitter with me, because that way we'll get him across that platform as well.
Yeah, but I mean, I will say that just on closing, that my wrestling journey has been absolutely, without a word of a lie, it's been a life changer for me. So, and it's, I mean, even you guys sitting here, you guys are all my family, and the guys that are out there setting up for the show now, you know, this is more to me than just wrestling. This is a group of mates that I will have for life. I've been around Australia. I eventually want to wrestle in New Zealand. I almost had a training with fucking Travis Banks, but shit fell through with work because I was going to go over there for work. So
fucking Travis Banks.
Oh, he's a champion as well. No, but like, it's just wrestling is a lot more to me than just going out there for the 8 to 15 minutes. It's a lifestyle, and it's a family, and I'm really, with all the bullshit that goes with it, I wouldn't fucking change it for the world. So it's fantastic.
Beautiful note to end on right there. Thank you very much, Big Brady Marshall. High fives up top. Woo! And after this, I'll be closing out the show. Cheers. Thanks. I'll sit up on three. 1, 2, 3.
Gonna put some butts in the seat.
Well, let me tell you something, dude. One place I'm not banned is Butts in Seats Podcast, brother. My main man, Frank Harris, and Josh the Thunder from Down Under Armour review WCW podcast, man, and they're from the 90s.
Black Blood's music. It's fucking hilarious because he looks like the combination of Kane and the members of Doom, and his music sounds like a breaker from Beverly Hills 90210.
There's also interviews and special episodes, man, and you can get it for free, brother, on iTunes and Stitcher. What you gonna do when butts and seats run wild on you, man?
What a fun time that was. Hey, folks, massive thanks to the champ, Big Brody Marshall, Toddy, and Sean for joining us. Also, you can check out Sean Fuster every Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on 5AA. That's right, the legit, the actual radio. You can hear him on there with the court roundup, I guess, of the week's legal happenings in Adelaide. So, yeah, man, Sean Fuster is all over it. Plus, in the Advertiser, you'll read his work there. Now, if you dug the show, please do subscribe to Wrestle Radio Australia. If it's on iTunes, you can subscribe. If it's on Stitcher, I believe you can follow us. And also on TuneIn Radio, just hit the little follow button and boom, you'll get every episode the second that it hits the interwebs. And we really want you guys sharing the show. We would love it if everybody that listens to the show shares it once on social media. I reckon we'll double our listenership right there. And that's what we want to do, is get Aussie wrestling, get these great talents out to more people. So please do share the show and tell your mates about it. The latest episode of Healing Out here on the network features a chat with Josh the Axe Shooter. Pretty cool WRA crossover episode. And if you're a wrestler or you want to be one, or you know someone who's aspiring to get into it, I recommend, well, all of our shows, but in particular, that chat that Ali had with Josh. Just really cool seeing what goes into making the Axe Josh Shooter what he is. Really, really cool stuff. And when you do subscribe to Wrestle Radio Australia, below this episode in the list, you will find more than 50 episodes of WRA. There's already 6 episodes of Healing Out with Muhammad Ali Vaez, former Ohio Valley wrestling star, Global Force Wrestling talent scout down here in Australasia. And of course, there's the Axe Cast with Josh Shooter, who will have a new episode up in a few days with Muhammad Ali Vaez. Funny that, but I'm pretty much done beating around the bush here, so this is where it's at. If you love podcasts, you love wrestling, and you happen to be Aussie, I mean, as our stats have shown, we've got a lot of listeners outside of Australia, but you know, we're targeting the Australian wrestling fan. We want to get independent wrestling down here to more people. This is the place to find out all about it. So let's make WRA not just a well-known podcast or a movement, a symbol of wrestling in Australia, a go-to place for people to learn about what we have and enjoy some entertainment, really, through the form of on-demand radio, through the form of a podcast. I mean, I'm, as you can tell, pretty passionate about this and what we're doing. And if you are, again, please do share the show with a friend, a colleague, a fellow wrestler maybe, who you know, really needs some stories to identify with. Maybe give them a kick in the pants. Our show is great for that. So please do get it out there. At Wrestle Radio AU is where you'll find the show on Twitter. Me, you'll find at Josh JD Armour. Big Brody Marshall is at Big Brody Marsh. Todd is at Beast Eastman. And Sean Fuster is at Sean Fuster. Also, check out Todd Eastman on the Big Bowlers podcast. Looks like there may be a new episode next week. So the Bowlers are getting back into it. And Mill Train, our buddy Josh Miller over there at the Bowlers, did a really cool piece on Steph Curry, ding ding, on FNX Network, the Golden State Warriors star Steph Curry. So if you enjoy reading about hoops, check out fnx.network. Thank you very much, Thunderstag, for the theme music, WrestleMerch Printing once again for the logo and sponsoring, fnx.network, thank you for streaming all of our shows, and of course our guests for today again, Big Brody Marshall, Todd Eastman, and Sean Fuster. But most of all, as always, I want to thank you for listening. Until next time, I'm Josh Armour,
And this has been Wrestle Radio Australia.
Saints and sinners, lovers and losers, cuckoos and run wild with the hounds of hell. Brothers and sisters, show no mercy, kiss your sons and your daughters goodbye. Been there, done that, heard it all before, chewed up and spit out, we won't take no more. If you wanna live, you're gonna have to fight. Every day's a Friday, every night's a Saturday night. Yes, well, the action is, if you want some, come and get some. Here's where the action is, but you better be ready to take some.
Here's where the action is. Here's where the action is.